Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to Why Are People Into That Live at the Pleasure Chest in New York City.
Woo!
Yeah, you guys can come hang out or just clap from there for posterity. Oh yeah.
Oh, nice.
Oh, hey guys.
Yeah.
Come on over. Oh yeah. No, it's fine. It's casual. We encourage shopping and looking around. There's a lot to look at in the Pleasure Chest. So, hello everyone. I'm Tina Horn, and Why Are People Into That is my slutty, kinky, queer, perverted as fuck sexuality podcast. I've been producing and hosting Why Are People Into That 100% independently for going on 5 years now.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And in the past year, I have been recording some episodes live in front of a studio audience and a bunch of butt plugs who are very, very good listeners and never talk back. And, you know, so the main difference between the regular Why Are People Into That podcast and the live show is that instead of choosing one sexuality topic, we usually cover three or more. And instead of one guest, I have two. So my guests today are Ariel. Say hi.
Hi.
And Bahar, say hi.
Hello.
Bahar works here at the Pleasure Chest, but we will get to that. So let me tell you a little bit about both of them. So Ariel Agosi.
Did great.
Great. Is a writer and social influencer. That's a flex to call yourself a social influencer.
It's been a wild ride.
Are you a good influence, a bad influence?
I don't know.
That remains to be seen. Yeah, exactly. TBD. Okay, so writer and social influencer who uses her platform to destigmatize and decolonize sex, bodies, and society. Hell yes. She believes our personal liberation is entwined with everyone else's and that feminism isn't a thing unless it's intersectional. Fuck yes. Okay. She's written for and been featured in publications you've probably heard about and just launched a video campaign with a brand helping teens navigate their first periods. We are going to come back to that topic very soon. She is now director of content at, is it pronounced Raxo?
Mm-hmm.
She is now director of content at Raxo, a woman of color owned and run creative agency. She's also a witch. Everybody
true.
Give it up for Ariel. Could, Ariel, will you define intersectionality for the folks at home?
Oh, gosh. Basically, just how every part of you intersects with the other. You can't just pick and choose one piece of you. You know, whether that's oppression, whether that's pleasure, whether that's identity, whatever it is. Merging everything as one and understanding that, you know, race, class, gender, all the things. You can't be free in one if you're not free in all of them.
Hell yeah, that's a great definition. I love that. Ariel and I actually met on a photo shoot for B-Vibe, which is a company that makes all kinds of sex toys, but is known for their butt plugs. So I want to ask you, do you have a favorite butt toy or like a funny story or like, do you want to talk about like your first butt toy? Just like give us something, you know, about it, butts. It's your prompt.
As my prompt. It's really funny because I talk about all sorts of things under the sun and under the sheets and all the things. I've actually never owned a butt toy.
Oh.
I've never had one up my butt.
You're in the right place.
Yeah. I know, right? I'm like, so many adventures to be had. Yeah. And so I feel like I document my journey and my experiences and just being able to talk about it more openly and with, you know, other people who have similar or very different experiences. And I feel very comfortable talking about things, but that doesn't mean that I've done everything.
That's good. I think that people have the misconception that folks who are social influencers or are thought leaders or educators like are automatically experienced and confident about everything, and we're actually human, and that makes us good at what we do rather than...
Yeah, I hope so. Sometimes I'm like, oh my goodness, like I have to talk about this and I've never done it or whatever it is. But I noticed that it's something I try to do, at least on Instagram a lot, is be like, hey, just because I talk about this doesn't mean I do this, or doesn't mean I'm not nervous about it, or doesn't mean that I want to try this, but I'm scared, or, you know, whatever it is.
So are you curious about butt stuff? Like converting you?
Oh my God, please convert me. Yeah, I mean, I feel like... Okay,
Bahar is ready.
This is my specialty.
I'm so excited to hear. I have had male partners before, and I feel like twice they've tried to put their penis in my butt, and it just felt like a reverse poop. And then I was like, okay, in this moment, I didn't like it, but that was a few years ago, and now I feel like I'm much more open. Mm. And with the right partner, I feel like I'd be ready to go.
Or with no partner at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, maybe we'll come back to that, so to speak, in through the outdoor. Butt stuff.
Just jotting it down.
Yes, just another bullet point. So let me introduce Bahar. Bahar Baharlu is a sex educator and the assistant manager of the Pleasure Chest in the Upper East Side, which is where we are right now. She is a queer femzy. I really like that. Femzy. Iranian American power slut. Also love that. You guys have fucking great bios. Her favorite topics include normalizing sexuality and kink, busting myths, and demystifying taboos. And the dogs she just can't own right now. I super relate to that.
I have a problem. I have a really big problem.
It must be a problem with the cute puppies next door to this shop.
It's awful. I literally put blinders on when I walk by because I can't.
They want you. They want you to take them home.
Oh, I want them.
Interestingly enough, Bahar's favorite toy in the whole store, besides the Enjoy Pure Wand, is the B-Vibe rimming plug. So will you pitch us on this plug?
I would love to. It's a bigger plug.
Oh, yes.
So
thanks for Vanna whiting us in the back.
Yes, very
there.
Nice.
Did you just get that? Oh, hell
score,
yeah.
Score, you won today.
We're going to tell you all about your future.
It is my, it is like it's the best toy to show to people too, because when I show people, and sometimes I'll say like, it's a rimming plug, and they'll be like, okay, and then I'll give it to them and I'll turn it on, and you know, it's literally the magic is that in the neck of the toy, the neck before the bulb part, so a butt plug has three parts. There's a flared base, a little stem neck, and then a bulb. And it's meant to stay inside of you, whereas some other butt toys go in and out, this stays inside. And in the neck part, it has these little rotating rollers that rim you. It literally goes beep, 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 beep. So right in your sphincter, in your anal cavity, you're feeling this massage. It's feeling like this little, it's not like a tongue. I can't say it's like a tongue, and we always relate rimming to tongues, but it is right at the where all your nerves, all that little hotbed of nerves are, it's massaging you. And I just love showing it to people, because when they feel it, they kind of always dismiss me and say like, okay, it rims you, and then they feel it and they go, oh. Like it's the most tactile. Like they'll feel it and then they'll understand. So yeah, it's an amazing toy. It's one of my favorites. It's a little bigger, so it's definitely not like a beginner if you're like just starting to enter the backdoor world. But
you're glowing talking
about it. Oh, my favorite. I'm so proud. I'm so proud of it. Yeah.
Hell yes. I actually haven't tried it. And I love butt plugs and rimming and massages. So really, I'm like the ideal consumer of this of this toy.
It vibrates too. Don't worry.
Okay. Oh, great.
You're not.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. Bahar, what do you do when you're not here working at the Pleasure Chest?
Oh, God, I'm always here. what do I do when I'm not here? I don't know, just chill. I go to a lot of music shows.
Cool.
I write my own music.
Hell yeah. What do you play?
I play a little bunch of like smattering of things, but like I just like to sing. That's my main, like, and my dream is just to find someone who will do all the playing and I can just sing in front of them.
So you're like at home with the mic and headphone situation.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Do you like karaoke?
Yeah, I love karaoke.
Oh, okay. We'll
I love
have
karaoke.
To talk.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, sweet.
Well, it's weird when you like to sing and you're good at it. Mm. Some people don't want to hear you sing when you're good at karaoke.
That's true.
They'll be like, no, not you. Someone else.
Yeah, I feel like that's the thing that's beautiful about karaoke is that it's about a communal celebration of music. And so if you're good at singing, sometimes it's nice to be in a place that's not like a recital,
yes,
where you can like feel the like love of the song or like sing something that is not usually that you love, but you would never actually like that you like listening to. And anyway, oh, you know, and then if you like really fucking can't sing, that's like also your chance.
It's about how much you love the song too.
Exactly.
That's karaoke is like, this song is so good.
Totally.
I want to stand in front of a million strangers and sing it.
Agreed. Agreed. I always bring the sex podcast back to karaoke. So I'm gonna steer us away from there. And I okay. So the topic that we are going to dive into today is a really expansive one, and I chose it because of Ariel, because I know that she has done a lot of writing about it. You've somehow like stumbled into being an expert in period sex.
I don't know how that ever happened, but here we are.
So, and we haven't actually, I did an episode about blood, but that was a little bit more about like kinky blood play, like knife play and needle play, and any kind of play that is about like intentionally breaking the skin for like sadomasochistic or like control purposes. And we did talk, I feel like menstruation has come up on the show as a feminist sex show is like it's likely to do. But I don't know if we've ever like sat down and been like, why are people into period sex or like periods in general? I mean, I think we generally have a negative association with periods and the way that they make us feel. But how can periods make us feel good?
That's a beautiful question. I feel like a lot of what I've written and talked about doesn't have so much to do with why are people into it, but more how can we open up the conversation about maybe trying it or not being, you know, not shaming ourselves for wanting it or our partners not shaming us for wanting it or for just having a normal functioning body.
Right. Like there's a ton of like stigma and frankly, like socially accepted repulsion that we have to get through before we can even
think about it as
a positive, like a thing that if we had the choice between like getting rid of it or continuing to have it, that we might actually be like, no, this has like a positive role to play in my life, not just something that I'm trying to like make better because I have to put up with it.
100%. I mean, I had PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, for I guess like 2 or 3 years, maybe like 5 years ago. And so I went through maybe like, it was like a year that I didn't get my period. And I would, you know, go through, have all the PMS symptoms, and I have PMDD, whatever, all these acronyms. Lots of discomfort, but I wouldn't get my period. And so finally, when I started getting it back, I was like, oh my gosh, like my body is back to normal. It's being healthy. Like, look at this beautiful thing that's coming out of me. And just being able to just be grateful for it again, that even, I mean, I have like terrible periods, but I'm just grateful because it means my body's working.
And that's cool.
Like, wow, for so long people have been telling me that like this is the worst and I have to hide like my tampons from my brother when I was younger and like all this shit. And I'm like, dope, like my body is doing its thing and nobody can tell me otherwise.
Cool.
Yeah.
Bahar, do you have a story that you'd like to tell?
I do, actually. I was with my partner and she and I were just starting to like, you know, really, really explore. We were like always like hovering around each other, and you know the way the gaze kind of just like, you know.
Oh yeah, so gazing at each other across rooms, like in the movie Carol, just a lot of looking at each other.
Yes. Like, oh, my crush is here. I'm gonna go to the next room and just pretend like. But yeah, so we finally accepted that we like wanted to touch each other. And then you know it explodes in this like virulent, like really intense. You know, and I was going down on her and really like going down on her because if you can see your nose, you're not doing it right.
Word.
Right. We took a little break and I was like, I'm going to go get out and get a glass of water. And because I was feeling a little dry.
Yeah. Hydration's very
important. Yeah. And she's like, I'll be here waiting for you. And I was like, okay, great. And she was relaxed and she didn't look at me and I left. And I go outside and I had a roommate and I go outside to get a glass of water and I'm wearing like a little cover and he looks at me and I just have blood all over my face, down my neck, like just covering my entire face.
As it should be.
And I was just like so casually just like, sup? Like, and he looked so mortified. He was like, what are you doing in there? I was like, what do you mean? And he like, you know, went to the mirror. And so I was just like, oh, she got her period. And I go inside and I, you know, she was just like, what happened? Because she just like looks up and sees my face. And I was like, yeah, did you get your period? And she's like checking. And she's like, no. And I was like, what? And we were just like, what's going on? Turns out I was going so hard that I gave myself a nosebleed. Yes.
Wow.
I know.
Wow. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Yes. That was.
That's brilliant.
That was well done. I was not expecting that turn.
And we didn't let it stop us. That's the best part.
So you're not doing cunnilingus right until you give yourself a nosebleed.
Until you break your nose off. Yes.
So the year that I moved to New York, I went to this event called the Miss Les pageant. Has anybody been to Miss Les?
Yeah.
It stands for Miss Lower East Side, but it also stands for the greatest lesbian in New York City, right?
Is it like a thing on Les Mis, but it's Miss Les?
Maybe.
That's
probably
funny. Is there a musical element?
It's gay, so okay, probably. Yeah. If it's gay, Les Mis is probably involved. And the thing I always say about this experience is that I went because this girl that I was dating was competing, and this pageant was so good that by the end I was like rooting for like two or three people other than the girl I was dating, because like that, like that's how and she was good, but like the other people were like so fucking good that I was like, I'm not gonna tell her, but I kind of think this other person is like should win. The girl I was dating stripped for the bikini like part of this pageant, stripped out of a shark suit and was like wearing like a little sort of like beach blanket bingo outfit underneath, but like was like a shark and then like stripped out of a shark suit, and she was like still
like top that?
Third or fourth best. Yeah. Anyway, so one of the ways that you top it, I'll tell you, is that everybody's supposed to have a platform, right? And so this one woman chose for her platform period sex, and she gave, you know, they give their like Miss America speech where it's like, well, why have you chosen this platform and why is this important? And she was like, well, I just think that period sex is so underrepresented and underappreciated, and like she like listed all these like really, really good reasons, like if you are feeling shitty, you should have a bunch of orgasms because then you will feel better. That's one. Also lube. So much lube already there, right? Confronting your mortality and like accepting that, like, you know, the body is just like a gross, disgusting thing. Like, let's go for it. Just like dive right in and like revel in the repulsiveness, the abject repulsiveness of the body, and just all the stuff that I was like, yes, yes, totally. And then all of her outfits for like the formal wear, the bathing suit competition, like everything she made out of menstrual products. So she wore a bikini made of tampons, and so all of the tampons like pointed out, so all of their little strings were like tassels, and she would like do a dance and like the little like tampon tassels would like bounce around. And then she had this like elaborate ball gown made of pads, and she like came out and like, you know, strutted down the stage and like posed and stuff in her formal wear, and then gave this big smile, and she had like those fake blood pills in her mouth, so cool. She like grinned, breaking the pills in her mouth, blood, you know, fake blood, I think, starts dribbling down her face and onto the dress, which then of course expands as pads are designed to do. I bring up the story because, you know, New York queer history, but also I don't even know her name. I hope she's listening. If you're listening, hit me up.
Google and see those pictures.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably Googleable. This was not that long ago. We had the internet then. I think I had considered all of those things before, but I don't know if I had ever witnessed somebody just being so committed and blatantly declaring her love of a thing and just being like, this is beautiful and wonderful and I'm going to advocate for it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Keep the Valentine's Day love alive through the winter with Pleasure Chest Pleasure Ed workshops. New Yorkers can stop by the flagship 7th Avenue West Village store on Thursday, February 21st at 8 p.m. for Power Up Your Sex Life. Sex specialist Carly will show you all the ways to incorporate toys into your love life, the best toys for getting off with a partner, and how to keep the pleasure going all year round. On Wednesday, February 27th, New Yorkers should head uptown to the 2nd Avenue store on the Upper East Side for Whip It Real Good, an Impact Play workshop, also at 8 p.m. Pleasure Chest Pleasure Ed workshops in New York City, LA, and Chicago are always open to folks of all genders and orientations. They make excellent date nights with romantic partners or friends, and they're also very welcoming to solo explorers. Most events are free, and when you attend, you receive 15% off any purchases. To find out more about this and other workshops, follow Pleasure Chest on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or visit pleasurechest.com. Now, on with the show. Periods often suck. I don't know if this is like news to any of you, but there are many reasons that the inconvenience of bleeding out of your holes, all of the attendant cramps and weird cravings and hormones and just bloating and like things that happen. And it happens like so often. You're like, how am I getting anything done? And yet I am, which, you know, really gives us an advantage when you think about it. It sucks. It's inconvenient and it's painful. And I'm personally like not ever planning on having children. So sometimes I'm like, this is like also pointless. This is not like going, this is not leading anywhere for me, right? If we could choose to completely get rid of it, what would make us choose to continue to have it? Like, what are not only the ways that we can cope with how shitty it is, but actually like appreciate it for the like natural phenomenon that it is?
Reading Cunt, which I don't know if anyone here has ever read, by Inga Musia.
I think that's right.
When I was in college, and I remember reading it, and like now I do all the things that she talks about, but back when I was reading it, I was like, whoa, like that's really, she's like really intense. Like she had her like period towel, so she would never wear anything. I don't think she would use menstrual products. She would just like wrap a towel around when she like, she was home. She would just stay home and just like bleed on the towel, which I do now. Also feed her plants, blood, which I, whatever, all the things.
Wait, explain this to people, for people who have never lived in a vegan co-op. I have. So have I. That's definitely where I learned about that. We had a mason jar for it. Anyway, so go on.
Brilliant. If you use menstrual cups, that's also a great way to collect blood. So blood has, you know, a bunch of awesome properties that plants love. So do ants. Lots of nitrogen. So actually, if you can either mix it with water or sometimes, maybe it was like too intense for my plants because I feel like I like killed off my plants doing this, but I would pour it directly onto the plants and you see all the little ants kind of coming and eating all the sugar. Anyways, plants love blood. Yeah, so cool. But back to Cunt or Inga. I remember her talking about just like the amazing phenomenon of being able to change her space without doing anything. So when she was on her period, she'd just like walk into a room and just stand there. And then all of a sudden, oh my God, the floor changed because now there's blood all over it. And she's like, I did that. Like I did that with my body. Like I just changed this space. And I just love that idea so much. Just being able to like impose ourselves in this like really beautiful natural way. And just like being able to like, I could just sit here and all of a sudden, and it's happened before also. Like I'll bleed all over. I bleed a lot. And like my bed is full of blood stains, and I've sat on a chair at like a family gathering really fancy, and I get up and I'm like, shit, that white cushion is now red
because of you,
because of me. But I'm like, yeah, because of me, like I, my body just did that. Cool. And it's also, I don't know, you know, it, having your period or not having your period, it's not about that. But I think if you do have your period, being able to sort of like we're talking about, like find the reasons to find power in it when for so long it's sort of been taken away from us or put us down.
Yeah. Bahar?
Yeah, I feel like
I mean, just in the day-to-day here, there just are a lot of expectations of what pussy's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
What it's supposed to be, or what, you know, just like supposed to be.
Yeah.
What it's supposed to smell like, what it's supposed to taste like.
Yeah.
And then periods, too, what it's supposed to be like. And that's even more mysterious because, you know, we're taught to hide it and not talk about it. So, like, pussy bleeds sometimes. And I feel like...
All the fucking time.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Depending... I mean, some people don't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just feel like... Well, I mean, like, body hair.
Mm.
You know, people grow hair. It's just, like, these expectations that are just, like, pushing us down or making us feel like we're not normal. Making us feel that we're weird or different. And I feel like periods have been the brunt of that a lot because it's like you're bleeding, so you're like this weird alien now that no one can touch. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what I mean? Like you have to, you know, whatever, red tent, like put yourself away. I compare it to body hair because I never shaved growing up. I was never taught to shave. I mean, like, I, you know, no one was like, you need to shave. So, like, you know, I definitely went through the growing pains of that because people were always like, you know, would dart to my armpits when, you know, like you can see that, like, for people who don't shave, we all know this. It's like when you are having a conversation with someone and you lift your arm, you can see people will sort of like, whoa, they'll see your armpit hair.
Yeah.
So like that being a thing kind of informs this idea of like being on your period and then like talking to someone about like, or like getting hot with someone and then just being like, oh, I have my period. And if it's like this thing where we're just like, oh, okay, then we'll stop. Or if it's like shrug. You know,
or like great.
Yeah, or great, cool. Yeah, I feel like it's just the expectation of what we're supposed to hide away and keep clean or how different we feel, even though we're just doing, our body's doing what it's meant to do. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I feel like that's why, like, people, like, celebrating it, feeling like this is a thing that I love, that I have. Like, also celebrating, like, if you're not into having babies, like, yay.
Yeah,
here's the sign. Yeah.
Still having a party.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the big red flag, whatever, the sign. So, like, yeah, just having, like, finding all the pros of having it and being like, this is great.
Totally.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I had a boyfriend in college, and so I had sex really, or penetrative sex, very, like, much later than most of my friends. So this was really, like, the first partner that I was, like, learning to have sex with, but was already sort of informed enough in, like, my feminism to understand that I was supposed to receive pleasure, but, like, I wasn't getting it, so then I'd communicate it, but then he'd get mad at me, and I'm just like, I don't know how this is supposed to work. Anyways, he, like, was...
We've been there.
He wasn't really into periods, and he was kind of into, like, making me feel bad about them, so that I felt like when I had my period, there was no point of me coming over, there was no point of me being around him, because I was like, well, I'm on my period, I don't know. And I remember I bleed a lot, and so I'm on my period, and he has these, I feel like it was, like, navy sheets or something, and so I'm, like, sitting, like, perched on, like, the corner of his bed to make sure that, like, I don't bleed on it, being really careful. And so I get up to leave to go home, and I'm like, oh, shit, like, there's, like, this big stain on his bed, and, like, he is super anti-period. So I, like, cover his sheets, like, I'm like, cross my fingers, hope he doesn't see, and, like, I leave, and I'm so nervous, and I see him the next day, and he walks up to me, he's like, Ariel, oh my God, it was so disgusting, like, I saw on my bed, I thought it was your period blood all over my bed, like, I was so grossed out, I was about to throw up. He's like, but I realized I had a cut on my toe, and it was just my toe blood, so,
oh,
like,
my,
we're all good.
My toe blood.
And I was like, bro, and I don't know, I don't think I broke up with him right then, but it was shortly thereafter, and I was just like, but the thing is, it wasn't even, my reaction wasn't even like, fuck you. It was like, oh my God, thank goodness he didn't, like, find me out.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Which, like, whatever. I have lots of feelings about that. But
I think we all do in this room.
Yeah, that was super shitty. And so I'm like, I don't want anyone to ever feel that ever. I don't want me to ever feel that ever.
Yeah, that reminds me of a time that I went home with this guy and we were doing it. And then I started bleeding. And I was like, yeah, whatever, you know, like, I'm used to this. And like I said, you know, like, oh, it's more thanks for grabbing the lube, me, you know. and he, like, didn't notice, I think, on maybe, like, until the next morning. Like, I noticed, because it's my body, but, like, he didn't notice until we woke up and there was blood everywhere. And then he was like, and I was like, oh, yeah, whatever. Oops. I don't think it's, oops, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And was I so cavalier about, about like not cleaning up? Probably. I don't know. I'm an asshole. But, but so then, and we had like, I had been friends with benefits, whatever. We had like slept together a few times and I like thought that everything was chill. And then he like, I don't think we even called it ghosting back then. My Lord, this was like over 10 years ago. He like ghosted me. It, like all of a sudden there was like no responses to my messages being like, you up. He like wasn't up. And I like never saw him around and like didn't see him. And I was just like, okay, well, whatever. I guess he's over. It literally never occurred to me that it had anything to do with the fact that I got blood on his dick. And then, and then I ran into him at a party like a year later and he was like super happy to see me and being kind of flirty. And I was like, hi, nice to see you. But also like,
what happened?
Like what the fuck, dude? Like, oh, now you're, you know, what? I don't know. Anyway, I was like both like into flirting back, but also feeling standoffish about his behavior. And he was like, oh, well, I mean, you know, I just like freaked out, you know how it is.
Oh, bummer.
And I was like, what about what? No. Like I've like bled 12 times since then, like what are you talking about, you know? And he was like, well, you know, like when you remember. And I like made him
like
say,
censoring himself. He can't even say like, yeah, you know, that thing that you did.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's why you didn't call me. And just like what you were saying about your college boyfriend, like I had a similar experience of feeling like embarrassed, just like this sort of like deep like embarrassment that I not even that my body did that, but that I didn't realize that I should have been more ashamed or apologetic, like, and that I had always just thought that he was an asshole, but then it was like, oh no, it was because of me that I like didn't have that person as a booty call anymore. And then it took like more time after that for me to like look back on the situation and be like, oh no. Actually, I was right the first time. Like he was an asshole. But also like because he freaked out, I have a much more vivid memory of how, like at the time, I don't remember thinking that it was like particularly erotic that I was bleeding everywhere. It was like the sex was good and I was bleeding. But then after I found out that he had freaked out and didn't want to sleep with me anymore because I bled all over his dick, now when I think about that night, I'm like, that was so fucking hot when I bled all over that guy's cock and all over his sheets and didn't even get a towel or like, fucking offered of dry cleaning bills. I hope he had to get a new fucking mattress, asshole. Anyway, I hope you're listening too. I guess the moral of all these, this little sharing, red tent sharing circle is like, what's your problem, everybody? I mean, and I think, let's take a step back. I think that sometimes people are uncomfortable when their partner is bleeding because they don't bleed, right? Like they don't know in their body what it is like to menstruate and for their genitals to gush blood and viscera, basically, right? Tissue. Tissue.
Oh, yeah. Chunky sometimes.
Totally. It's you say that, but we have to fucking have it in our pants, man. If you're like not like used to it or familiar with it, then I can understand that it's like, whoa.
Well, yeah, I feel like the only time people who don't bleed see blood is when there's something wrong.
That's a really good point,
it's
right?
It's like I hurt myself. Or like, you know what I mean? It's like an issue.
Or, yeah, or like this.
We see our own blood every time.
All the time.
Now,
yeah.
The time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can understand the like fight or flight response of like, this is a catastrophe. But like also, like, it's not a catastrophe though. Like we've got this.
So.
We have like so many methods of dealing with it. And including ibuprofen. Shout out to ibuprofen.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
But also weed. Shout out to weed. Also, shout out to like a good dicking or like a Hitachi or like put it in my butt if you don't want blood on your cock. Anyway.
Or play games.
What, like you know, like Red Room games?
Yeah, like finger painting.
Finger painting.
I fortunately actually have my partners who don't bleed who, you know, I've never had the encounter of having someone who was like, ew.
Cool.
So, like, beautiful. Yeah, I'm a blessing on them. But yeah, we'd play games where we'd do like little mushroom stamp games. Yeah, I mean, if you're in the shower, like.
Yeah, I feel like it forces you to, not forces anything, but it allows you to be a lot more creative.
And yeah.
Inventive.
This is like a whole different material for you to work with, people.
My own crimson paint.
Oh, God.
Burnt sienna.
Oh, Lord. That's amazing. Yeah. And then the other interesting thing is, like, if you bleed and you have partners who bleed, then sometimes there's this interesting interplay of, like, it, like, internalized misogyny or, like, internalized, like, shame about blood, which can be, like, if you don't bleed, I'm willing to give you just, like, a little bit of, like, it's cool, bro. It's not a catastrophe. Yeah. Is your fight or flight response like dying down now? Okay, get back down there. Yeah. Break your nose. Nobody's going to be able to tell the difference if you break your nose.
Let's compare your blood to my blood and see.
Mix them together. I mean, I suppose that we should acknowledge, you know, bloodborne pathogens and,
Yes.
You know, I mean, there is, well, we can get to that. But the point that I'm trying to make is like, okay, I can appreciate if, you know, as maybe if you're younger and you haven't had as many partners, like, et cetera, you can, like, give a little bit of accommodation to, like, okay, take a breath, and now, like, let's get in the shower so that if you're having, like, a visceral response to the viscera, like, that we can still be getting that I am not now untouchable, and we can be, like, getting it on with some nice silicone lube, like, while everything is, like, washing away. Cool. I guess some people get faint when they see blood. Okay, that's maybe a thing. But when you, like, when your partner also, like, has that experience and they are repulsed by you, like, that's I don't know, I've had that experience too, and that is harder to deal with because it's like
body shame.
Yeah,
I think
it's like projected, right?
Yeah, it's like the, I mean, you're looking at me and telling me I'm gross.
Yeah,
that's my body, this is me.
Yeah,
yeah,
like, you have to love all of me, you can't just love me when I'm not bleeding.
You can't have me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, love the part of me that's sloughing off, you know.
Yeah.
It's kissing goodbye.
Well, I feel like what are the things that are the, like, so, like, okay, if period sex is a deal breaker, then, like, what about it is the deal breaker?
That's
is it
the question.
Like,
yeah.
Like, do you think that you're going to get sick? No. Depending. Well, we're talking about, like, when someone, you know, depending on their status, but, like,
probably the fear that the blood is dangerous is probably that fear is probably like inversely proportional to how dangerous it actually is. And that you're, and most people are probably not making like a risk aware assessment of like what bloodborne pathogens they may be contracting by like going down on you when you are menstruating.
Yeah.
Even though like, I don't want to say that it's not possible, but.
Right. But hopefully if you're getting that close to someone, you are aware of those and you know the risks. We're hoping that.
Yeah, if somebody, if you know, if you regularly get tested and you know your status, like if you, like if I'm HIV negative and I bleed all over your face, like you're not going to contract HIV. Like HIV is not like going to spontaneously like erupt out of like the combination of like my bodily fluids and your disgust. Like, you know, and it's the same with anal sex, right? Like people are like, or, you know, or like being homosexual, like is going to like make, you know, HIV like spontaneously like appear when you rub two homosexuals together. Like, you know, like that's not, no, but you know, really this is,
there are these assumptions. Yeah.
Or when people, if you like stopped and thought about it, you would realize like what are you actually at risk for? And the answer is probably not a lot, especially if you know your status and are prepared to have that conversation and communicate.
Yeah. And then the other things I think are like some people say that it smells, but usually when the smell, okay, so there's like whatever taste of pennies, they associate like metal, metallic things. The smell thing, I think, is, you know, I mean, I heard a story from someone who was just like, oh, well, you know, I'd find tampons in the trash and it would be so smelly. And it's because it's a shoved wad of cotton up there that sits up there for a couple of hours. And that's the thing that's smelly. Like, that gets smelly.
Do you know what else is smelly? Is a fucking used condom in the trash,
yes,
bro.
Yeah, so, like, you know, like, the fear, it's just about, like, really assessing what the fears are and being like, here are the facts about them. And then if you're still not into it, then that's cool. That's cool. But here's how I feel about it. I mean, yeah. It's like just talking about, like, you know, because you can't force anyone to do what they are not into. That's the thing.
That is,
you know?
True. Yes. Consent is important.
Yes.
Consent, full stop. Enthusiastic consent, full stop. Full stop. And education is important so that we know, like what, so that we have all the information about what we're consenting to or not consenting to.
Yeah.
And I think remembering, I don't know, everyone has their different stories and their different journeys, but I definitely used to think it was gross and I never touched my own blood and I was grossed out by myself and I was taught to be grossed out by myself. And then now I fucking love the way my period smells and the way my pussy smells when I'm on my period. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I lived in the jungle in the hippie commune that like I finally touched it and was like, oh wow, I'm not melting. Like, this is fine, you know? And like, I can keep touching it and this is dope. And now it's like, you know, I talk about it all the time and it's the best. But younger me was like totally like, oh my God, you know, this is disgusting. And like, of course you never want to touch me because I'm disgusting right now.
Mm.
But now I'm like, no, never was disgusting. Never will be disgusting. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. So everybody needs to move to the jungle for a while.
Apparently that's what it is.
And water your plants by tipping your keeper. Mm-hmm. Diva cup.
Never buy red paint again.
No need.
Splatter everywhere. Yeah, I'm okay. So let's talk about consent a little bit. So let's say that you, for whatever reason, don't like coming into contact with blood and you have a partner who bleeds once a month for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days. It's a lot of days.
7 for me.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody's different. So I think this is like a really great opportunity to talk about the fact that like also sometimes we're like, oh, I'm on my period, so we can't have sex, which is like this very like P in the V intercourse heteronormative like focused idea of like what sex is possible. What are some examples of some sex that you can have if you're on your period without even like encountering like a drop of blood?
Well, if you have a cup, I mean, if for those who don't know, some people still don't know what cups are, you are capturing all of that before it's even coming down. So like oral is cool. Like oral is pretty legit.
Or like hand jobs or using vibrators or like other external toys.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it depends how you define sex, but like literally anything that isn't touching your blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, that like anything that doesn't involve like the like vaginal hole.
Yeah.
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 Like there you go.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, there's other holes.
Yeah.
So many other holes.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, going back to something I said flippantly at the beginning, like we have ibuprofen, acetaminophen, chocolate, weed, a nice bath, exercise, they say. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and binging, and also orgasms are really good. These are all things
cramp
that
relievers.
Are really good.
Yeah,
for cramps.
Backed by science.
To be honest, I actually like when I'm on my period. I actually my cervix is really sensitive, and sometimes penetrative sex just hurts.
So periods can actually. Like period preferences can come from the person who is bleeding and not just
can
the person who has an opinion about the bleeding body.
Blood's coming out. Words are coming out. What you want is coming out. Everything. We're just so needy.
Chocolate's going in.
So your cervix is... Yeah.
Yeah.
There are so many times when I'm not on my period and then I suddenly am because we're having like, you know, like really like rough penetrative sex and just like shakes things up a bit and then I'm having it. And then I get like, personally, I get really, really intense cramps. So I just don't even want penetrative sex. So yeah, clit is the shit. Like clit is it. That's it.
Clit is it.
So yeah, so that's like a thing. So vibrators galore, butt stuff.
I recently learned, which is funny that I just recently learned this. So your cervix like drops when you're on your period. And actually, apparently, it like takes about 20 minutes of like being aroused for your cervix to start like lifting. So if you do want to have penetrative sex on your period and like,
you need clitoral really painful, stimulation. Yeah, you need it.
You need 20 minutes of just like feeling it before that can even like is going to feel good as an option.
Yeah, even not on your period. Like when you're in a status like this status, like we're sitting at the table, our, you know, our vaginal canals are like boop. They're like shorty little short shorts. Mm-hmm. And then when you, like, you know, it's just like
Daisy Dukes.
Yeah, Daisy Dukes. And it's just like, wow, I just went from one end to the other. And it's, yeah. But yeah, when you're aroused, your cervix super lifts. And that's what makes space for it. So like the people who are just like, yeah, just like put something in there from the get. It's like, just nah. Like, doesn't make sense.
All those movies. No.
Yeah, no, there's no like, oh, we're so passionate. I'm just going to bend over. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, that being said, you can be aroused without having your clitoris touched. Like if you're thinking about it all day long and someone's been like fondling your mother bits, like, you know, that's arousal and that's legit. But like, yeah, you need that clitoral stimulation in general before you think about putting anything in there. So yeah.
What is it?
You know, it's so interesting that you guys are talking about the clitoris because, you know, we've covered so many things in 5 years of why are people into that? And there are things that come up so often that I forget that we haven't given them real dedicated time.
The clit, hiding in plain sight.
Just the tip of the iceberg, baby. Yeah, so I would... It's not really hiding. It's just right not there.
No, the topic.
The topic is... Oh, yes, 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 yes. Where is it? I found it.
Have you seen that gif of the person who's wearing the vulva costume and they're like, where's the clit? And they're like, oh, my face is the clit. They're like so excited.
It's me. Like, I'm the clit.
And they're just like so happy.
That's really good. It's really, really good. Yeah. So I would love to talk about why are people into the clitoris. And we've already talked about some of the reasons, but do you guys, what are your thoughts? Do you have feelings, opinions about the clitoris?
Oh, so many. Just where do I start? Best. It's the best.
The literal best?
Yeah. It's, I don't know, we hear all the little the factoids about the clitoris. It has like, whatever, double the amount of nerve endings as the whole shaft of the penis.
Not like it's a competition, but.
Yeah, but like, you'll never know. And it's, you know, I often hear this thing that I actually want to like, kind of be like about is that like its only purpose is pleasure. Like, you know, the clit is the only whatever is like those only purpose is pleasure, which is whatever, cool, but that I feel like that dismisses the point of pleasure. You know what I mean? Like it's only to just for fun, which is like pleasure is a really big part of just like even reproduction too, like you know, like if you are aroused when you're trying to make a baby, it's like a lot more likely to actually happen. So it's useful. Pleasure is like also useful. It's not just like some throwaway thing. So like,
yeah, it's not just hedonism. It pleasure is healing. Pleasure important. Is life affirming. Mm-hmm. Pleasure is good for your mental health. Pleasure can create connection. Pleasure can, like, you know.
Yeah, I just feel like it diminishes what pleasure really is. It's not just like some like, oh, candy corn. It's like, I don't know, Halloween is still coming. But yeah, it's like important. So I just feel like that when people say that, I'm just kind of like, it's also really, it needs to happen.
Yeah, you know? And sensation.
Everyone deserves it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and
do. Well, deserve is a weird thing to say, but everyone has to have it.
It's a pleasure is like to... Feeling pleasure in your body is a right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have lots of super fun sexual trauma and PTSD and all the fun things. And so for a really long time, and I'm like, it's getting better now, but penetrative sex is like horrifying for me and really hard. And thank God is that the clit exists, because otherwise, like, I wouldn't be having pleasure. Mm. And I'm so grateful. Mm-hmm. And it's the best. Mm-hmm. And we're really good friends.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really great. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I happen to have on my laptop here this really wonderful design by this woman, Sophia Wallace. So I know there's a lot of sparkly things to see here, but do you guys see this shape right here? Okay, have you guys seen this shape before? Yeah, okay, we've got some clitoral. Some clitoral. Yeah, Ben's seen it.
Clitorate.
What is that?
It's like an octopus with a like electric hands. Yeah.
I feel like this. So the actual shape of the clitoris, not just like as if it wasn't enough that people can't seem to find the tip. Which is just, it's right,
like,
there.
It's right, literally right there. Mm-hmm.
But also, like, the like, legs of the, like, the clitoris is an organ, mm-hmm, that, like, descends into your body, or descends into your body. I'm sorry, it's still Halloween.
The candy corn. The,
you know, that, like, extends it. I'm not a doctor. It's in there, guys. And there are these, like, leggy bulb. I feel like in my experience of pleasure, of masturbation, of sex, I had always, like, intuitively known that there was more to the story. Like, I've always really liked like the crease of my thighs to be, mm-hmm, rubbed, mm-hmm, which is really kind of a way of, like, rubbing that organ, like, through the skin. Mm-hmm. And I've known from, like, from G-spot orgasms, the G-spot is, I'm of course making all these gestures right now that the listeners can't see.
The worst.
You know, I feel like, like, internal, like, G-spot orgasms, either from vaginal penetration or anal penetration, has always, like, reverberated in a different way than clitoral orgasms, mm-hmm, like tip clitoral orgasms from oral sex, or even just like being stimulated with a hand sometimes, or a vibrator sometimes. But it really wasn't until these like representations of the actual shape of the clitoris, I feel like, started to become more, like, popular and used in, like, jewelry designs, and, like, you see it on Etsy everywhere, right? And you, like, you see that it more in sex ed and sex tech and all these kinds of things, that I feel like seeing that iconography made me even more in touch with that organ in my body, and, like, understanding it, and, like, being aware of, like, while, like, I have an orgasm that I, you know, feel, like, reverberating inside me, I'm like, that's what that is.
Yeah.
It was there the whole time.
Yeah. The whole time. Yeah. I feel like, I also hear a lot of people who, like, will be like, it's very common that people will have clitoral orgasms first, or, like, can only have clitoral orgasms. And then they're like, but I want to have a G-spot orgasm. And they'll, like, try to be like, it's better, or, you know what I mean? Which I just, like, also am like, boo, no, a clitoral orgasm is amazing. It's great. It's accessible. You know what I mean? Because some people will come in here and be like, oh my God, there's so much. I don't know what to look at. I don't know what to go for first. And they'll go for, like, a rabbit. And I'm like, hold on.
Yeah.
Like, if it's your first toy, just go for a clit vibe, because it's so easy. You'll just want to grind on it. You can, you know, like, it's the most accessible thing. So that's why, another reason why it's so awesome, is because it's like, look, it's right there. And also, it's so easy to get you off, you know?
Yeah. And it can be accessed and stimulated without penetration. So if, mm-hmm, for whatever reason you're not in the mood to be penetrated anally or vaginally, mm-hmm, that the clit's just like, hey, I'm just hanging out here.
ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of my really good friends, Laura, runs this project called Clitorosity. And because finding out just, like, the full structure of the clit, like, changed her life. So now she goes around and does these, like, massive chalk drawings on the side of the street, and, like, draws the full expression of the clit, and, like, will write something under it. Sometimes it's like, what am I, or what is this, or whatever it is. And you'll just see people on the street, like, interacting with it. And sometimes they'll ask her, sometimes she just steps back and watches, and they're like, it's an octopus, is it an alien, like, what is that, you know? And she's like, well, let me tell you what this
is.
Nice. And it's just sort of amazing to watch the expressions on people's faces understanding that like nobody knows what this thing is that like half the population has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's amazing and extremely empowering once you know what you do have and then how you can use it and how it can make you feel good.
Yeah.
What are some good ways to use it?
The clit?
Yeah.
Well, the way that it's shaped, I like to tell people that it's also kind of like a tuning fork.
Mm-hmm.
So like if, you know, the way that you hit a tuning fork, it reverberates through the whole thing. So mm-hmm. it's not just like mashing on the top part will be the only access point. You know what I mean? Like you said, like rubbing the insides of your thighs.
Yeah.
So like if you have vibrators, you can put them literally like not even on your bits at all, like on your legs. Mm-hmm. And you'll feel those transferred vibrations. So yeah, like vibration is a really great way and like easy. Sometimes like people are just so like sensitive that vibration is too much. And that's when I say try suction. There's also suction toys.
So good.
I'm very toy oriented because I, you know, I'm here all the time. So like toy enthusiast.
That's great.
Yeah. So there's also, you know, things like the Womanizer, that do, they don't literally like suck your shit up inside. They're not like a vacuum.
It's not like a pump.
Yeah, it's not a pump, but those are a thing too. Clit pumps are also like super awesome and cool. Not only for enlarging, because some people want larger clits, but also just for pleasure. Some pumps are just, you know, just to have that suction. But the Womanizer toys, they have like a little, it just goes back and forth like this. There's like a whole, I guess
what
the podcast.
Like sonic waves or something?
Yeah. Like, yeah, there's like a sound clit thing. Yeah, no, it is sound. It is sound, yeah. I guess on a podcast, I'm like showing with my hands, like it does this.
No.
It's amazing. That's all really you have to know.
Yeah. It's a very gentle, it'll just be like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. And it's, some people think it's super intense because it is really pinpoint. It's like right on the clitoris, which is the opposite of like putting the vibrator on your thigh. But yeah, so like there's so many options on how to stimulate it and how to like, yeah, there's so many things you could do to it. You can look at it. No,
just sing to it. Yeah, and using a toy and your fingers or and your hands or a partner's hands or like two toys or whatever it is sort of to stimulate like all the parts at once mm-hmm. also is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Anything else that you want to say about our friend, the clit?
Call me.
Yeah, I love you.
You up?
You up. Yeah, the clit will never ghost you.
True. Yeah, I mean, I think another here's the only other thing that I'll add is like I don't know if people realize that the clit, how analogous the clit is to the penis in so many ways, like including the sense that it does become engorged and becomes literally hard or erect, you know. So
and we have a clitoral hood. We have like an actual, you know, like foreskin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called clit envy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So even just like understanding, like no matter what kind of body you have or what kinds of bodies you play with or what your gender identity or the gender identities of the people that you play with might be, I feel like having that like empathy and understanding for how somebody else's body is analogous to yours is a really good way of understanding how they might like to be pleased. Now they might, like you might understand like, oh, this clitoris is like my cock and I like this done to my cock so I can just do this to this person's clitoris and like Tina Horn says I'm good to go, but like actually people might like it to be stimulated in different ways. But when we think, and this kind of goes back to the period thing, right? Like if we think of other people's bodies as so alien from our own, then that's just going to be alienating, guys. And yeah, the more that we like celebrate our differences but also think about the ways that we are the same, the more that we can connect, which is part of what I think a lot of us are looking for from hot sex.
Mm-hmm. Literally a connection.
Do you guys want to talk about hair?
Let's get into it.
Yeah.
So we have done an episode, a Why Are People Into Hair episode that was a big, very focused on like hairy girl porn. Mm. But let's talk about some of the reasons that people like hair anywhere on the body of any person. What's sexy about hair?
Well, back to the time that I was living in the jungle, I found there's just like a lot of use for hair.
And like what?
It just protects you. I mean, I was living in a place that was, the mosquito situation was wild. I got, what was it? Chikungunya, which is like a, whatever. Separate story, but my hair helped protect me.
Cool.
And yeah, I was like always scratching and itching. And like if I shaved, it was like that much more painful, that much more sensitive. I mean, it was horrifying. And I was like, thank goodness that I grew up in Miami, so everyone's hairless there. And so all my friends by the age of like 16 had done, what is it, like laser, like getting rid of like all the hair on their body. Whoa. And I'm like, thank goodness I never did that, because now like when I need it, I can grow my hair and I have like protection.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So that's one use. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, protection for sure. I can't tell you how many people are just like, I mean, you know, we'll always be like, oh, they're like, when they're choosing lubes, they're like, I'm really sensitive, so like, you know, can I get a lube, this and this? And I'm, you know, I always kind of want to ask them, like, do you shave regularly too? Like, do you shave everywhere regularly? Because that hair is there to protect you too from like bacteria going in and out. I mean, shaving is cool. No shame if you want to shave. That's totally cool. But like, yeah, it's just like your eyebrows that protect your eyes from sweat. And you know what I mean?
Is that what they're there for?
Yes. Yeah, they absorb all that stuff and they sort of like are made this little net. They're this little net. Yeah, yeah. I just like, I never ever shave, so I never never understood. I mean, I never like experienced the like irritation. I mean, I have shaved before in my life, but like, yeah, it fucks you up a little bit when you shave regularly, I think. I feel like you're especially like underarms too. Like, I don't know, you just get all these bumps and sensitive bits.
It's spiky. I shave my armpits, but I'm always spiky. Annoyed about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it grows back like so soon. Mm. So then you have all these like, I don't know, beards everywhere. Beards in multiple places. Yeah. I don't know. I've had partners who were obviously like, if they're not into hair, they weren't even speaking to me, so that was cool. I had like a natural filter, which is really nice. It was awesome.
Yeah, oh my god. It is a net.
Honestly, it is. It protects you from assholes too, which is so cool. Yes. Which I honestly, like thinking about it now, I think maybe that's why all my partners have been cool with my period, because they were just, they weren't like, ew, your body hair.
Mm-hmm.
I've had partners who weren't like super into it, but they didn't care. Mm. But then, you know, by the end of the, or whatever, like towards the end, they like needed it a little bit. They were just like, during sex they would like take a whiff or like bury their head in my arms, or you know what I mean.
Yeah you're out there converting.
Yeah, I was doing the good work.
Yeah,
so yeah. Yeah, hair is great.
Always really annoyed when people talk about deodorant and underarm hair as a hygiene issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I don't use deodorant at all.
Yeah, I use it sometimes when I feel, honestly, I only use it when I don't want to deal with people commenting on my smell, because that has happened in professional settings, and it's embarrassing. Even if you don't care, it's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Like, you are an adult and you should know better, and it's like, anyway, very frustrating. But like, I feel like I've talked about this on the podcast before. I will make my partner like come like roll around on top of me like before they get in the shower, like just like give me one last fix.
Yeah.
Before you like cover it up for society.
Yeah.
But but like I understand that like bacteria can like grow in hair, but like, I don't know, deodorant hygiene issue, what do you guys think? This is the talk now.
I don't use it either, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's just so weird. Like, you know, actually, I wanted to ask you about this, because do you know Madame Gandhi?
Yeah.
So Madame Gandhi is the drummer from MIA, and she's a boss. Like, if you don't know about her, look her up. She's fucking rad. I just saw this video once where she was rope training, and she was like swinging around these heavy ass ropes, and I was like, I know. It's like, you're a beast. Anyway. She did this like radical thing where she ran a marathon. I think it was the New York Marathon or some marathon, and she was free bleeding the whole time.
Whoa!
And it was like crazy and blah blah blah, and I think I posted about it, being like, "This is so cool," and blah blah blah. And someone had mentioned that, like, that's not healthy. Someone had commented being like, that's gross. That's not healthy.
Because people are going to slip and fall.
Yeah. There's a trail behind her of fallen people.
Seems like... Oh my god!
Anyway. I mean, if you're in a race, that's a great idea.
That's what I'm saying. You know, it's like when I put like spikes on the sides of cars, you know, and they're like, it's like playing dirty, you know. If it's not against the rules, then you know why not?
We should design a Mario Kart game where that's like one of the cars. God. They just like unleash the flow, and everyone's just like. But yeah,
done. Yeah, done.
I think it's just like it smells. Like you know, now back to sweat, like it smells, so it therefore it is dirty.
Right. I think that people associate, like, if you can smell a body, that the body is unclean, and that is preposterous. That is, like, there can be many, if you prefer to wear deodorant, if you prefer to bathe in cologne, as we all know some oh, people worst. That we pass by in can't the subway do it. But you know, but honestly, like, it's your body. You smell however you want to smell, scent however you want to scent, bathe however you want to bathe. But like, the idea that if you don't do that, that you're unclean or unwell, and that, or that also that you, like, you're spreading filth and unwellness.
Yeah,
it's just like, it's just, I mean, it's also just like inaccurate, right? I mean, I'm like, if somebody wants to tell me, like, actually, like, yeah, if your partner like huffs your dirty armpits, they could contract. I don't know what.
Like, I get turned on. Oh my god.
Oh yeah, no, yeah.
True. That's you a could thing.
Contract. Getting off, yeah.
contract an orgasm.
Yeah, you know, contract. Anyway,
I get like if you're a server, like if you're serving food, like maybe food is like a thing. Like, I don't want to smell sweaty bodies when I'm eating.
I feel like I see men serving in tank tops, but if women didn't shave their armpits and were serving in tank mm-hmm. tops, that would be a hygiene issue. Pretty. What's that?
Armpit hair nets. I feel like I saw that once. Is that a thing? It's like put on a little sleeve. So cute.
That would be. That's ridiculous.
I want to make it like sexy lingerie though, where it's like fishnet tights, but it's like
like a merkin.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think there's definitely a gender double standard.
Mm-hmm,
But yeah, I don't know. This is. This thing that I'm always getting mad at after mad about after a few drinks.
Jungle again.
Jungle Book. Content warning. Jungle.
We made our own shampoos. Everything was like biodegradable, like cool for the earth, awesome. And so actually in this community, you weren't allowed to wear any perfume because it just like wasn't natural. And then you'd have like visitors come, and I mean, you'd smell them from like 100 yards away, and they would reek of, you know, whatever fancy perfume. Yeah, it was
interesting.
It was so weird, where normally it'd be totally fine, or maybe that would smell good, but like in that context, and after being so sensitive and like not just smelling bodies and nature as like a normal thing, it was like offensive and almost, I mean, it was nauseating to like smell that, but because it was there, but that like here makes sense. We're just like, you know, we're accosted with all a million different scents all the time.
And New York stinks.
Yeah, so but much. You know, I always say I would rather ride on like a potent subway with just like the smell of the human condition than like get into like a Lyft or a cab that is just like overwhelmed with the like Lysol scent. It's nauseating, you know. And then I like, you know, anyway. So give me, you know, the smell of bodies on the subway. I know I have a stronger tolerance for I have a higher tolerance for strong smells than the average person, which is why I was so good at being a dominatrix. But I, you know, I think it's like, it's funny because it's not like when I say that, it's not like I have a higher tolerance, like I don't smell it, like I smell it, but it doesn't offend me. Mm-hmm. And I wonder sometimes if that is ideological or like physiological, if like part of it is that some people are like more sensitive and like have like a repulsion that has, you know, I want it, it's hard to have like a control for, let's find someone who's raised outside of society, maybe in a hippie commune in the jungle.
Well, yeah, I feel like that's just so interesting to hear that like you could smell the clean or whatever, the like the soap, because like it's just all about the standard of what we're mm-hmm. used to, right? So then, yeah. So now we're, whatever we, our society says that soap is good and sweat is bad smell, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like when we smell sweat, we're like, brew, like, you know, so I think that's what it is, really. It's just all social fucking conditioning.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's it. So hygiene is not, it's not a thing.
But hair I mean, does tend to like
hold it more.
Hold in the smell.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. There.
Do you guys have any other thoughts about hair?
I always like to tell, so as I okay, another little story. I was in the musical Hair once.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really funny because you know, I was like, you know, pretty hairy and blah blah blah, and the director, who was so weird, he was like a gay Republican.
Oof.
So confusing to me. And all other people in the show, like, you know, they're pretty, you know, wild and free, but like they all shaved. They were like, you know, I think I was the only like femme person who didn't shave. And he asked me once, he was like, why don't you shave? And I said like, oh, I just never wanted to. And he was just like, but you're so pretty. And I was like, thank you. And then he asked me to shave for the show because I would stick out. And I was like, the show is called Hair.
Also, it's, I don't know if you guys know, Hair is about a bunch of hippies.
Hippies in New York who didn't, you know, like shave.
Also, that's not the reason hair. He wanted to control
yeah.
your body. You yeah. know this.
Well, the other people in the show, too, bought Merkins.
Whoa.
Yeah, lots of, so loaded. That's
hair,
that whole story.
I don't even know.
Yeah, like they were just like, we're not going to let it grow out. We're going to buy a wig so that we don't. It's just like blew my mind.
Whoa.
But yeah, hair, man. I like to tell people that it makes my kick stronger when they're like, why don't you shave your legs? I'm like, because it makes my kick stronger.
I really like that.
Yeah. I'm sure it's really? True.
Yeah,
also.
I think so, actually. Yeah.
Totally.
Aerodynamic hair.
Yeah.
Well, the hair on my head is longer than it has been, like, since I was 16, and I was like, I'm Winona Ryder. It's funny, like, it's kind of like I have a new girlfriend, because I just, like, keep, like, stroking it, and I'm like, that's so nice, oh, it's me.
Hey, you. Flirting with yourself.
Yeah. Because I'm just not used to it, and I also, you know, I have a really good friend, who... I used to do a lot of sex work with, and she has like hair down to her ass, and she would literally like gather it up and like whip people with it, or
yes.
like use it as like a sensory tool. And now I feel like, oh, I get it. It's like you just have like a sex toy that you like carry with you everywhere you go.
Well, like that thing you said about changing the room, like you walk in and your hair takes up some space in this way.
Mm.
You know, it's like. You know, you're like, it's an extension of you in this, like, sort of, like, not, what's that word when you can move something?
Telekinetic?
No. Prehensile. Is that the thing that I'm talking about? Yeah, it's, like, not prehensile, but it's still a part of you that's extending into the room in this weird way. I just shave all my hair off. My head off. I shaved my head off. And it's, yeah, it's also, like, freeing in this way, that the same way as having, like, a long... hair that you can whip someone with, I think.
I feel like it's another, shaving your head if you're a femme presenting person is another way to completely take up space in a different way.
It's, yeah, that's
like,
really
are you
interesting.
Sick?
Oh,
are
yeah.
you a lesbian? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
I'm
fun.
Sick lesbian.
Yeah, I'm a sick lesbian. Yeah.
Watch
yeah. out.
Yeah, I might bleed all over you.
Yeah, careful.
Do you guys notice people's hair when you're sort of gauging... like how sexy they are to you?
Oh yeah.
What do you notice about people's hair that you find sexy?
I mean, it's just such a it's so funny. It's such fashion. that you just have to have. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. It's like fashion that you have to think about. And if you don't think about it, that's also a choice.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like it says so much about you, the way that you wear your hair and have hair. I love hair. I like actually watch hair cutting videos for like fun.
Oh, wow. Like ASMR?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I love like just like seeing people get their hair cut and like,
oh
yeah, it's great. It's great. I love hair.
I like getting my hair cut because I like the attention, the like tingles.
It. Yes, definitely.
I love it so much. Mm-hmm. And it's also such a powerful, what is it like in films and in movies, like the easiest way to show an internal transformation is for like someone to cut their hair.
Natalie Portman and V for Vendetta.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah. Or just like somebody.
Like break up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's totally, I mean, Jungle again, shaved my head. And I used to have this like really, really long hair. And I remember there was this tiny like surfing village that I had like traveled to.
What country was this in?
In Brazil.
Oh, okay.
And I remember, like, the last day that I was there, it was, like, three or four different men that had, like, either accosted me, tried to manipulate me into somewhere, like, me asking directions, them taking me somewhere else. And I was, like, so scared and so overwhelmed. Go into, like, little community, end up shaving my head. And then I come back to that, to the little town, like, I think a day later. I pass every single one of those men that had, like, accosted me a week before, and like none of them looked at me and none of them recognized me.
Mm.
And it was so powerful, and part of me was like, fuck yeah, I'm invisible, like I cut you, like I'm good, I don't have hair anymore. But then the other part,
like I cut my hair,
exactly. But then the other part of me was like, do they think I'm that ugly that like I don't exist anymore?
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
is all my power, like is everything that is the world thinks that I'm good for, is like, is that gone now?
Mm. Yeah, that is really getting at the double bind of catcalling.
Uh-huh.
In general, and like harassment, yeah, and like what a bum deal we have that we are like, please harass me so that for my self esteem, and also like I have to like this thing that my body naturally does, I have to like make sure to plug it up or everyone will be mad at me.
And like cut this part, but don't cut this part, and like plug up this part, and don't smell like this.
And,
like,
yeah, and also explain yourself.
Yeah.
At every moment.
At every moment.
Yeah.
And also, like, just please find where my clit is.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, if you are mad about any of this or wondering where the clit is, probably there is something here at the Pleasure Chest to help you.
We are for to helping you.
To help you with that. So as much as I want to talk about all of this gross stuff all night, I think I want to wrap up so that you all have time to enjoy shopping at the Pleasure Chest tonight, where you get 15% off anything that you buy in the store for coming to Wired People Into That Live. So just to wrap up, I want to thank Ben, who besides taking great Instagrammable pictures, also takes care of all of the sound so that I don't have to. So everybody give it up for Ben in the back.
Yay. Thanks, Ben.
And I want to thank the Pleasure Chest, especially Ryan, who really is integral in helping to keep Wired People Into That Live running up here at the Second Avenue store in the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And of course, my guest, Ariel Agosi. And Bahar Baharlu. Bahar works here at the store. Did you say that you're the manager of
assistant
manager of the Upper East Side store? So Bahar and all of the wonderful folks that work here are always available when they are here and working to answer to answer, you know, they're not just here to do a wonderful job with the retail. They're also trained sex educators and are here to help you find the toy that's right for you and answer your questions and make up for the awful lack of comprehensive sexual education that most of us probably got / didn't get. And that's one of the best things about the Pleasure Chest. Like I said, everything is 15% off. How late is the store open tonight?
Midnight.
The store is open till midnight, so you have plenty of time to shop. Thank you for riding the Crimson Wave with us tonight. See you later.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.